2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 read, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is a podcast of Faith Bible Church. I'm your host, Pastor Bryce. And speaking about men of God who are complete and equipped for every good work, I have with me Pastor Andrew. Thanks for being here, Andrew.
I can't take you serious.
Hey, I mean it, though.
I'm going to call him out, but Kevin Brace, every time I have my glasses on now, because I just started wearing glasses, every time that I see him and I have my glasses on, he'll look at me and go, "Pastor Andy." Every time my response is, "I know you are not saying that out of respect," and then I'll just walk away. That's how that intro felt. I know you mean it out of respect, but
Kevin, you have not set me up well.
Can't take any of you seriously.
That's fun. Well, today we are talking about the scriptures, and that has been our quarterly focus this whole quarter. We've got ACE class on the promises, also one on biblical masculinity. But it's important that we now talk about inspiration, and the reason being we've kind of done things a little different this time because 3 years ago when we last were on this quarterly focus on the podcast, I just chose subjects that I thought were most helpful. And what I'm trying to do this quarter is I've taken a passage of scripture and we're using each of the parts of that passage as a launching point, a springboard, if you will, to different subjects that relate to scripture. And so we've gone to one of the very best known passages about scripture, which is 2 Timothy 3. Verse 16 is the one everybody knows. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. But I started before that in verses 14 and 15. Now we're at verse 16 and 17. And so today, for example, it's all scripture is breathed out by God. And the springboard for today's discussion is breathed out by God, and what that means. Just by way of introduction, if you wonder, how do you get from is breathed out by God to inspiration? Here's how you get there. It is a matter of a term. The Greek for breathed out in this passage is theopneustos. Maybe you heard that before. Theos is God. Pneuma is the word we use for breath, spirit or breath. So if something is theopneustos, that just means that it has been breathed out by God, which is really a sort of metaphorical way of just saying it's been spoken by him, because when you speak, you use your breath, theopneustos. The King James Version, which has influenced all English versions since, reads in this passage, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." The NASB kind of follows and says, "is inspired by God." So they take theopneustos, which literally does mean breathed out. And they have used a word, inspiration. The only unfortunate thing is that when that was used by the translators of the King James Version in the 1600s, it was understood that inspiration was referring to breathing out. But we don't use inspiration that way anymore. So we've kept the term somewhat. We have kept the term when we discuss theology, but it's open to confusion because today inspiration just means you're inspired. You're like an artist. You have a moment of inspiration. You're greatly encouraged. But that is not at all what's meant in 2 Timothy 3:16. Not at all. Not even close to what's meant to that. Really, it's just, inspiration used to mean breathed out. Actually, today, if we were being super transparent and literal, really the word expiration, ex like out, and then the spire part is breathing, respiratory. Expiration would be breathed out. But you can't use that word because to expire is to die. It's just how it works in English. So we can't do that. So we stick with inspiration. But just want to make clear starting out, when 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is breathed out by God, that is exactly what we're talking about by the theological term inspiration. Even if your Bible no longer uses that term for the reasons I've just explained, in theology, we talk about inspiration. Here, for example, is how Wayne Grudem, in his excellent systematic theology, back in the glossary of terms, defines inspiration, quote, a term referring to the fact that the words of Scripture are spoken by God. Because of the weak sense of this word in ordinary usage, this text, his systematic theology, prefers the term God-breathed to indicate that the words of Scripture are spoken by God. So that gives a little bit of a refresher of what we're talking about with inspiration, but now I've got some questions for you, Andrew. And the very first one is, if we're going to say Scripture is breathed out by God, aka spoken by God, the very first issue we run into is the fact that clearly the 66 books of the Bible were written down by people. They were written by people. People with different personalities, in different contexts, and you see that in their writing. So how is it possible, if those people spoke or wrote the words, that we say that actually everything spoken or written there in Scripture, everything is actually spoken by God? How is that possible?
So it is a really hard concept and term for us to get a grasp on, primarily because of the reasons you just gave. I mean, you've got multiple different authors, multiple different tones, different genres of writing throughout the entire word. How do we say that all of these are inspired by God, by one technical author, even though there's multiple other human authors writing it? And so I think the best way of understanding it is really diving into our understanding of the Holy Spirit. So you have examples throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament of people being guided by the Holy Spirit in one way or another. Most of the time, whenever we see these examples, it's like more of like a physical guiding. Something's happening to them that's making them do something. So examples that I thought of were Romans 8:26, when Paul is referring to us and how we pray. There's often times that we're either so broken or hurting, or I think it says like anguish in that verse. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us because we don't know what to pray. So what we're seeing there is those that are in Christ and have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to intercede for us to the Father when we don't even know what to pray. So you have that example. So you have the Holy Spirit interceding to the Father. Why couldn't the Father intercede to us through the Holy Spirit in Scripture? But you also have examples like Acts 16:6, where Paul is on his missionary journeys. He's kind of wrapping up his missionary journeys. He's going into Asia. He wants to start preaching in Asia. However, what we read is that having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak in Asia, he goes on to another location. And so it's a great example of the Holy Spirit literally stopping Paul from writing and speaking about the gospel, because the Holy Spirit wants him to shift focus to another region that the gospel needs to be spread to. And so that causes him to move on to that. So if the Holy Spirit can stop the inspiration to happen, why couldn't he also be used through inspiration to write down what's needed? And then you also have Acts 4, which Peter and John are arrested for preaching. They're brought before the council. And what we read in Acts 4 is that Peter is actually guided by the Spirit to say what he should say. And what's interesting about that passage is the council is actually aware of Peter's background and that he would be known as kind of an uneducated Galilean. He's just a fisherman. He's not educated like the Pharisees. He doesn't have that religious background. He just more has the traditional religious background where his family would be teaching him and things like that about the things that he needs to know. So in Acts 4, when all of a sudden he is speaking very eloquently about Old Testament theology and how that is now married into what Christ has done for us going forward, the Pharisees are genuinely shocked because it's an uneducated Galilean that's now all of a sudden talking to us about these deep theological things. That's an example of the Holy Spirit guiding and speaking on behalf of, or of Paul or Peter speaking on behalf of the Holy Spirit based off of what the Holy Spirit is guiding him to say.
What excellent examples those are. And I think if someone ever had the doubt of thinking, what if people just made up inspiration and the Bible doesn't even teach it? The easiest way to settle that doubt is just to flip through the New Testament and look at the ways that the Old Testament's quoted. And it actually makes it very clear because of the number of different ways. Sometimes it will say, David said. And then other times it will say, David, by the Holy Spirit, said. And then it will say, the Holy Spirit through David said, you go, wait, who said this? David, the Holy Spirit? David by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit by David? Or Hebrews 1, long ago, at many times in many ways, God spoke through the prophets. But other times it says the prophets spoke, like 2 Peter 1, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So it is a mysterious how that happens, but all the examples you gave show that the way that the Holy Spirit works, he's invisible, but we can be working and he working at the same time, and that is what happens in inspiration.
There's also that amazing historical evidence behind it of, I mean, there's books that we know were written back then that have not survived. Like, there's letters that Paul has written that he references in other letters to churches that we don't have anymore. But these other letters did stay, and they are in our Bible, indicating the inspiration of them. Like, they were protected by God to continue on through history so that we can have it today in our church. Whereas other letters just weren't, so.
Yeah, that's a great point as well. Okay, this next question's a little more, I guess, on the practical. I mean, that's practical what we said, but how can you tell if someone really believes that the words of the Bible are God's words, as opposed to someone who just accepts the doctrine of inspiration on a surface level? What are the marks that you would see in someone's life to know that this is a doctrine that's sunk down into their hearts?
One of the biggest ones is their love for the word itself. So whenever you have somebody that's living their life out like a Berean, where everything is checked against the word of God, where, you know, when you're up preaching, they have the word in front of them just to make sure that what's being said is truth based off the word, where that love for being in the word daily, like feeling, and I think a good example is when you're talking to somebody and they're kind of off their normal game. They're having a bad week. And if you can look at them and say, well, when's the last time you were in the word? And they say, you know, I've not been in it this week. But they can identify that whenever they are in it continually, having that understanding that inspiration, that love for the inspiration of the word, that love for the word itself, that protection of the word is of high importance. That's going to be a person that understands and loves the inspiration of the word of God.
Well, speaking of those who understand and love the inspiration of the word of God, Andrew, you see what I did there? You like that?
Look at that.
But this is where I want to lead this question into now is on a personal level for you, are there ways that you have seen your trust that God's words are God's words? How has that impacted your own personal life?
When I read this question initially, there were two big examples that popped up in my mind. And the first one was when my dad was sick back in 2021. There was a lot of turmoil going on. There's a lot of pain. There was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of doubt about what direction dad was going to go at any certain time. And the one thing that would bring comfort is getting into the Psalms. So knowing that something that was written thousands of years ago by David, who was going through a completely different trial, completely different turmoil, but was going through turmoil, and I can open up the Bible and see that, oh, that was inspired for somebody 2,000 years later that's going to be going through something. I mean, my dad was going through COVID, but I'm reading my God, why have you forsaken me, written by David thousands of years ago about something completely different. But I can get comfort from that, knowing that that is an inspired piece of writing that has been preserved so that believers can go to it and find comfort. That's just immensely powerful in coming to the realization of that. Yeah. Then the second one that I thought of is I'm married to just an absolutely amazing woman. And nowhere in Philippians does it say that Andrew Walden should marry Jessica Fagley. Like, there's no direct command of that. However, I can go to Proverbs 31 and have a checklist of a woman that is a godly woman that a man should pursue. And as I'm dating Jessica, and if I open up Proverbs 31 and I can see, oh, she's doing that, she's doing that, she's doing that, you can see the inspiration of Scripture guiding every male believer as to what the Lord looks for in a proper good woman. And that's the woman you should start pursuing and marrying. It's not going to tell you what job you should have. It's not going to tell you who you should marry. It's not going to tell you, insert whatever here. That's very direct. However, what it will do is it will give you the right understanding of how to think through your decisions and finding the right job. You can, I work for a trucking company. There's nothing morally wrong with working for a trucking company. However, if I went into a different industry that is morally wrong and I can see, we're doing this at my job, that doesn't jive with what the word says. It can help guide you through that.
No. I mean, you're a good example. Those are good examples in your life of the kind of attitude Jesus described in Matthew 4:4 when he was being tempted by the devil. He was very hungry. Satan said, turn these rocks into bread. And he quoted Deuteronomy 8:3 and said, no, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, what's man live by? By every word that comes from the mouth of God, which is exactly what you're describing. Well, thanks, Andrew, for your help in this. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me back.
You are listening. Maybe you value God's word and technically believe in inspiration. Maybe you forgot what the definition of that was. Maybe you know it, but it hasn't sunk to a heart level, and that's shown itself in your life because you just haven't been in the word lately. Well, whatever the case in the past might be, may God help us all now to think this way.